Well, it was a victory then for home side, Oisin, by 35 points to 10. But in the second half, I suppose if you looked at it, it was 5-all because it was 30 points to 5 at half-time. Derry did eventually get recognition for that second half performance when they got a try after 75 minutes. Whenever Neil Burns, from a penalty, kicked the 5 metres, it was a very, very good line-out, and it was big number 8, Adam Bratton, who got over, and that brought it to 35-10, and, you know, no more than they deserved for the second-half performance. And I think the coach, Stephen Douglas, will have looked at that second half and thought, you know, if we can cut out mistakes like we had in the first half, things might not be so bad. They've Banbridge next week, and they're not going to be an easy side. They're a big, strong side. They got promotion to AIL 1B this season. So that is a big challenge, but really everything has to be geared until this day fortnight at Judges Road whenever Skerries come in the first game, because a victory over Skerries by whatever means is absolutely essential to kickstart Derry's season, because at the end of the day, if AIL is the bread and butter of clubs, and if they can get a home victory to start with, that's going to give them a lot of enthusiasm. Hopefully they're talk that there could be a couple more recruitment of players, and that will do no harm. But this was Stephen Douglas's first game in charge, and I'm sure at times he must have been ready to pull his hair out. After 4 minutes, I mean, Derry took the lead. At that stage, they had started really, really well. Centre David Graham made a super break up the middle, beating two players. The ball came back to Neil Burns at about half, and he chipped left perfectly for young winger Tian Thornton to pick up and dive over in the corner. 4 minutes later, Quinns had a great breakout by the right half, Roger Kirkwood, up to the 22. Chris Cooper was sin-binned for a misdemeanour at the breakdown, but Derry did clear that one. But then on 13 minutes, Derry were penalised at a ruck 30 metres out, and Kirkwood duly obliged, making it 5 points to 3. But then on the 20-minute mark, as I mentioned before, in the space of 2 minutes from 20 minutes, Derry found themselves 17-5 in their ears. Firstly, when a high kick into the 22, looked as if nobody wanted to even know about the ball. It bounced so beautifully for winger Andrew Pollock, and he, of course, naturally picked up, dived in at the post. Kirkwood converted 10-5. 2 minutes later, Harlequins again attacking. Kirkwood put in a nice grubber kick, albeit the ground was wet with the rain. But nevertheless, two Derry players went for the ball. Neither managed to secure it. They knocked it forward, and fullback Mark Glover duly picked up and dived over. So it was 17-5 then to Derry with Kirkwood's conversion. On the 28th and the 36th minute, Derry tried to run the ball out of their 22. Players were getting with no support, and when the player hits the ground, he has got a release. And on the two occasions, Harlequins had more players to the breakdown, and the referee penalised Kirkwood. He slotted over both, and that was 23 points to 5. And then, just as a half-time whistle came, another poor kick by Derry was countered by Collegians and Pollock, and he got over in the corner. Kirkwood with a superb conversion made it 30 points to 5. Second half, one was expecting an avalanche, but it didn't happen, thankfully. First 15 minutes, Derry were very much in the game, up and in and around the Harlequins 22, but lacking the killer punch. And unfortunately, that's what happened. But on the first occasion, when Harlequins managed to get down into the Derry 22 after 25 minutes, there were three phases of play. So Pollock over in the corner for his hat-trick, and that made it 35 points to 5. But as I said, Derry came back and then duly got the rewards with 5 minutes to go when Adam Bratton got over from a line-out. But a lot of work to be done in the next couple of weeks, as I said, before the Skerries game. The annoying thing was that possibly Harlequins made two tries. The rest of them they were given. And that's very, very hard to take as a coach. You know, those two tries in the space of 2 minutes, I mean, there's absolutely no excuse for it. A ball shouldn't... There should be any players covering back, but it wasn't there. And if you've gone down on a ball, you make sure you secure it. At least you make sure you get your body between you and the opposition. But again, it's very easy standing on the touchline to see these sort of things. And I say in the second half as well, a misdirected kick didn't help that for them to counterattack. Harlequins had a lot of pace behind the scrum, and that was one thing. Up front, the Derry pack actually did very well. Scrummaging-wise, they more than held their own, and on a couple of occasions got a good drive on to force penalties. But again, the big difference was the Harlequins halfbacks, when they kicked for touch, they found touch. When Derry kicked for touch on numerous occasions, they didn't find touch. And we all know in the modern game of rugby, if you don't find touch, it's a very wide field to cover whenever a player decides to go. So, disappointing first half, mainly because of mistakes. But you'd have to say the second half, a lot of enthusiasm, and the players certainly didn't throw the towel in, which was good to see, because at 30 points to 5, it would be very easy to get dejected. But they stuck at it, and as I said, in the second half, it ended up a try apiece, and hopefully they can build on that for the next season. for next week against Banbridge, which will be again a very difficult game. So the final score here from Derrymore Park in the first round of the first Ulster Senior Cup, it was Belfast Harlequins 35, City of Derry 10.